Shabbat shalom. When a hero sets out on a great journey, there is a prototypical set of plot points to hit, a familiar arc to the many stories we read and reread, generation after generation. Joseph Campbell outlines the quintessential moments of the hero's journey in his classic work, The Hero with a Thousand Faces. A call to adventure, an encounter with a divine being, a test, descent into danger, and finally, a return. But the hero returns transformed. We see it in countless stories across traditions and time. In Homer's epic, Odysseus goes off to war, Athena gives him counsel, he breaks free from the Lotus Eaters and the Cyclops, he enters the underworld and departs safely. He returns home, but he is not the same man who first left Ithaca. In the film Moana, the sea calls Moana from her home. She meets the demigod Maui, and they escape many dangers on and beneath the sea. She restores the heart of the mother island and returns to her family, transforming their society when she does. So many of our familiar stories, myths, fairy tales, literature, and films follow this model. The Buddha, Sleeping Beauty, Beowulf, Jane Eyre, Luke Skywalker, The Hunger Games. I could go on and on. But none of these stories ends by sending the next generation out to retread or reverse the journey. There is no third Homeric epic telling the story of Odysseus's son setting out on his own adventure. In the canons of literature and culture, the end of the story is the end of the story. Not so with our story. This week's parasha, Vayetse, picks up the story of Jacob after he has stolen his brother's blessing and birthright. Vayetse Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Charana. Jacob leaves the family home in Be'er Sheva and sets out for Haran, the very place his grandfather Abraham had left behind in his own hero's journey. And this is not even the first return to Haran for the family. Many years after his own journey and before Jacob's, Abraham sent his servant Eliezer to Haran seeking a wife for Isaac. It's curious that the Torah keeps bringing its heroes, our ancestors, back to places they had seemingly left behind. After all, one could argue that the whole point of Abraham's journey, encapsulated by the phrase Lech Lecha, is about breaking forth from old ways to embark on a new way of life. From a spiritual standpoint, it is not a matter of coincidence or convenience that the Torah has us revisit the same places again and again. The connection between repetition and change is a powerful one, echoed in the words themselves. The same Hebrew root, shin, nun, he, gives rise both to the word repeat and the word change. Shana and shina. All you need to do is swap one tiny vowel. It is repetition itself that can reveal change. When the frame of a story repeats, it draws our attention more keenly to the details that have changed. When we visit familiar places from our past, doesn't it cause us to reflect on how much we have grown in the intervening years? And if we find ourselves in a familiar situation, we are presented with a choice. Do what we have always done, or break the cycle and forge ahead, informed but unencumbered by our past. And so it is no accident that Jacob walks the same road as Abraham did, Their geography may be the same, but their choices are not. After Jacob departs Beersheba, the story continues, Vayifga Bamakom, which is usually translated as, he happened upon a certain place. But this does not fully capture the meaning of the Hebrew, which really says, he happened upon the place. Ba makom. But the Torah doesn't elaborate. Surprise, surprise. What is the place? Where is the place? What is so significant about this place? Well, several commentaries identify this place as Har HaMoriah, the same place where Abraham bound his son Isaac, intending to sacrifice him. With this assertion, the rabbis frame this makom, where Jacob alights, as a place of enduring significance, a literal touchstone for past, present, and future. Chapter 20 of Pirkei de Rabbi Eliezer states that when Adam was driven out of Eden, he went forth from its gates and abode on Mount Moriah, which was nearby. To this same place, Abraham returned many generations to heed a divine call. And later still, Jacob alights on this place, finds a stone and rests his head upon it, and has a transcendent vision of God. According to the Midrash, the stone Jacob rests on is plucked from the very altar that Abraham had built for Isaac. Well, not for him exactly. Later still, this place will be known as Jerusalem, and that same stone will become the foundation for God's sanctuary on earth. Our ancestors visited the same places, but they were not doomed to repeat the same actions. For Adam, Moriah was the result of transgression and expulsion. For Abraham and Isaac, it was a place of trauma, but it was also a place of revelation. For Jacob, it becomes a place of vision and blessing. Angels ascend and descend, not the reverse, from that very place. There, God promises to be with Jacob and watch over him. Jacob declares his awe and reverence for God and dedicates the place and himself to sacred service. Just like our ancestors, we too may find ourselves visiting and revisiting the same places, perhaps even the same challenges from earlier days. But we are not echoes of ourselves or our past. Like our ancestors, we can be guided by what came before us, but we do not have to move forward in imitation of the past. It is fitting that Jacob, who in next week's Parsha will be renamed Israel, is the namesake of our people, because his story teaches us a powerful lesson. When Jacob took the stone from Abraham's altar, he took a piece of the past and transformed it, bringing it into his present and revealing the sacred. Like Jacob's, the human story is one of repetition and change. We experience both in equal measure and often at the same time. We exist in conversation with our past, and we look for ways to lift up the threads of continuity. But we must ultimately forge ahead and strive for an awareness of the sacred in our own lives. When Jacob awoke from his vision, he exclaimed, Achen, Yesh Adonai b'makom hazeh. Truly, God is in this place. May we each seek and find such moments of sanctity in our own lives. And may we be blessed with cause to say, Achen and Amen. Shabbat Shalom.